May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 644. Watch, watch, and be sober, ye children of God. Your wonderful lover has bought you with blood. Your husband and saviour, for you gave his life. Then be your behaviour, becoming his wife. Hymn 644.
Thank you. by the Lord's help, let us read together, firstly in the book of Genesis, in chapter 3, the first 15 verses in the book of Genesis. We turn to Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 59. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And David and his wife, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? He said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. We turn to the prophecy of Isaiah from chapter 59. Chapter 59. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities are separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity, and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web to no avail. He that eateth, of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. So we are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us. And as for our iniquities, we know them. And transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him, and there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm wrought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My Spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and for ever. Amen. Lord, we do see now that mercy, so much needed, more than we can know. We pray, Lord, that it may abound. Thou art help us from the throne of mercy, where Jesus answers prayer. We see, Lord, that thou art not look upon nor regard our sins as we richly deserve, but upon thine own dear beloved Son, Lord, that we may see him too, by the eye of faith. We pray, Lord, that thou remember us gathered once more. We pray, Lord, that it may be unto him the gathering this night. And there may be, Lord, that sweet help so to view thee by precious faith, beholding the Lamb of God with dear John and others too, we are persuaded. Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, that we may behold him. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Oh, that would do us good. We do pray, Lord, that thou help our sinful infirmities. So, full of unbelief, we pray that there may be that help and deliverance and blessing from it with the dear man that cried, Lord, I believe, help thou, mine unbelief. We do say, Lord, that there may be a blessing for the poor, and thy word, Lord, there may be that sweet knowledge of it, reaching downwards to poor sinners, indeed would see Jesus. We see, Lord, that thou remember each case, each need. We pray for the brethren and seek thy rich blessing. Lord, we do pray for the Church of Christ and the gathering of thy people, for unto him shall the gathering, oh, so many different characters, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. We do say, Lord, for those unable to be here, bearing them up before thee in our hearts, desire and affection. We think of little ones too. Lord, the young, rising generation, things, Lord, that belong to them in their lives are known to thee. They shall be known if thou dost spare them. Lord, prepare them for life's journey. To grant thy rich blessing upon seeking souls, those, Lord, that come and perhaps are very troubled because they cannot seem to find him. Oh, there are many like that. Oh, that I knew where I might find him with dear Job. We do say, Lord, for the afflicted and those that need thy healing touch. Oh, command it, Lord, in thee, great I am. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thy blessing may descend here. And we pray, Lord, for Zion's favour of God upon thee, dear friends. And we pray, Lord, that maybe that increase and that going upon the tops of the mulberry trees. We pray for that again, Lord, that thou'lt command it. Lord, may it be so in each cause represented. We seek, Lord, that thou wilt remember us, seeking, Lord, to bless as we ought, mingle very much our thanksgiving for thy goodness, for thy kindness. As we come to the last month, another year, we have to acknowledge thee, Lord, with and hearts that need that help to bless us, we surely would. We say, Lord, thou help us to bless the Lord and my soul. Those that have good cause, Lord, to say, bless the Lord my soul and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Remember our poor land. Oh, how thankful we are for the throne of grace. He that sits on no precarious throne nor borrows any leave to be. It is our privilege that we would seek for grace to come and plead thy gracious help and thy blessing upon our poor land. Surely it has lost its way. Have mercy upon us. But Lord, we do not meddle with anything. We do seek, Lord, that thou would help us now to come and plead, Lord, for a little sweet liberty. The help of the blessed Spirit of truth, full of grace and truth and liberty. We pray, Lord, there may be a sweetness in it. The Lord to come down like dew upon the mown grass. A little sweet refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Help us now, Lord, to come and seek. Thou be with us, pleading that worthy name, not our own. Oh, we would plead it again and again. Oh, that thou wilt do us good. The Lord wilt save us from our sin, the guilt of it. We fear, Lord, sometimes we do not know it enough. We would speak carefully, Lord, thou knowest we want to be real. We want to be right in our last breath. We do seek, Lord, that thou would remember any in a special trouble. Any, Lord, that are burdened and cast down. Any, Lord, that may need thee more than they can ever say. Lord, we pray that thou would hear the groaning of the prisoner. Remember us, Lord, as we seek for that gracious help to be able to lift up the Lord Jesus and to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ for poor, wretched sinners. So, Lord, we would not, we dare not multiply many words. Oh, we want something real to go home with. Something, Lord, for our poor souls and circumstances, perhaps. Something, Lord, from heaven. We need thee, Lord, to come down by thy blessed Spirit, and may there be a sweet anointing of those heavenly things and that precious help of God for us. We pray that thou wilt outdo our request. And do grant, Lord, we may not be a hindrance this evening. Strengthen us, we pray. And do grant, Lord, may be much knowledge of thy presence. We do pray that thou be with us, Lord Jesus. We ask for Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us further sing hymn 612. In every believer, two armies are seen, the new man of grace and the old man of sin. In Christ he is perfect and free from all guilt, yet in himself evils are both seen and felt. Hymn 612.
Thank you.
that the Lord may be pleased to help me. I will turn with you to the prophecy of Isaiah from chapter 59, from the last part of verse 19 into verse 20. Chapter 59, verses 19 and 20, from the middle part, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. This is a very well known part of God's word. It lays upon my mind, I need the Spirit of God. We notice in the setting of God's word here much promise of the coming of the Redeemer. Oh, but the wickedness that was upon the earth, just like our hearts, we have to say. Much prophecy concerning the dreadful state of Zion, or the city of God, as it was in the old dispensation, yet to be redeemed, yet for God to appear, yet for the Lord to command his mercy. There were those characters that were gathered unto him, but it seems their sins were so very great. We have to consider ourselves. A few things have stood out to me in coming, more particularly to the word in the gospel here. We've been reminded of the subtlety of the adversary serpent. He was more subtle than any beast of the field that the Lord God had made. The enemy speaks so much of that solemn understanding of the time that God permitted, appointed, for the serpent to be known and for the dreadful things to be made known concerning the Lord and his people. My mind goes to the word of God's grace here. He may be pleased to enable me to seek unto him. Especially I think of the words in the truth of the gospel. Perhaps in the verse here, and he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. We must seek to dwell a little upon it, as God may help us. Desire to come especially a little deeper into the chapter, that our mind is led and directed to this chapter. May the Lord grant a little sweetness in it. May there be something that may remain by God's own grace. Especially my thoughts go to the chapter here. We read some very solemn things. We read in chapter 57, the righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. Speaks further of a dreadful state of the people, the way in which God was pleased to bring his people to consider. We chose in his holy, sacred name. My mind goes especially to the 59th chapter. As if there's a great gathering in. Such dreadful things. Such a display of God's wrath and judgment. Such a dreadful state is spoken of. And yet we read this, do we not behold? The Lord's hand is not shortened, and it cannot save. And it is ear heavy that it cannot hear. My thoughts go to the verse, as God may help me, or whatever may attend, whatever may be the things that God appoints, whatever may be the trials and even sorrows, the things that God has appointed. Or yet this word seems to stand out to me. May it be of the Lord. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened. It's not overstretched. The Lord's hand is not shortened at all. Oh, to know something of it by God's sweet grace. Oh, that good hand of God put forth to save his own. Perhaps we must look at it a little further. There is a discovery, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Think of it for a moment, friends. These things belong to the Lord's people in their troubles, in their fears. These things are very much known as they were brought to seek the Lord's sweet mercy. Wondering where the scene will end, perhaps. Behold, lose not sight of it. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened. Friends, what if it were shortened this evening? Where would you be? Would I be? Or if it was shortened, had not that sweet power to save unto the uttermost? Oh, where would you be this evening? Where would I be? Friends, in two places, either in perdition, or solemnly brought to realise we need the Lord to grant us that sweet truth as it is in Jesus. Or that truth of it in the chapter. Behold, look here, the Lord's hand is not shortened. Oh, friends, that should gladden our hearts, but God grant the gladness. Not shortened at all. Oh, some of you have sweetly known it. The Lord has commanded his hand to be outstretched. Outstretched by God to save his own. My thoughts go a little further. It may be unable to speak from the chapter here. There are things that have been on my mind and they seem to have just gone a little. But especially my thoughts have gone to the iniquities and the power of the enemy. I want to come to it. With the fall, there was that terrible increase of the power of Satan. It has been said, nature died with man. I do not want to get turned aside, but oh friends, the matter is this: we have set before us in the gospel, even at this time, that dreadful condition of man by the breach, by the solemn things have taken place in the fall of man. It cannot be said how fallen he is. You begin to feel it sometimes. Much as we have read of that dreadful state of man, so it is revealed by the Spirit in another way. Or to defile his very conscience and to bring him guilty before his Maker. Although many things may belong to his circumstances. Friends, the matter is this. Sin has entered. Oh, the dreadful state of man. By it, and oh, the condemnation in it. Let me try and speak of it as little as God may help me. We read of it, exactly in that chapter in Genesis. Serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. Before or since, it could be said. Because there's a truth here, a vital consideration that God only can give it to our hearts and to our inmost soul. Oh, the devilish appointments of Satan for our souls, but for grace. He'll have us in the bottomless pit, friends, but for God's rich grace. Do you believe it? Oh, the dreadful state of man by the fall rendered him without God to save. Were it not for the sweet substance in our text, the truth as it is in Jesus. If I could really come to it, friends, how much man needs this saving, a great one. He hasn't got the least inclination for him. But then the Lord gives grace. That's where my thoughts have gone. Just as we read man's solemn state by the serpent being more subtle and so on. Oh, there is a vital concern, friends, that we are brought to know the reality of the fall as it regards our souls and the Lord God Almighty. I feel come so far short. But I felt it today, friends, the need for the reality of it. To be brought to know and feel and mourn over our sin and shame. And then the enemy as well. What havoc he makes. You may think of quickened souls beginning to be taught. I think we've sung a few things about it. When he comes in like a flood, much upon my mind, very much in the truth of the serpent being more subtle than any beast of the field. Something has laid on my mind about it. Oh, the dreadful nature of sin, I mean, unperceived. Dwelling in careless hearts, and I've been the worst of them, the worst of them. Now, friends, do we need the Lord by his sweet grace? It's all in our text. Now, by God's mercy, as he brought us up, or brought us to the mercy seat, what woe do you feel? What need is now belonging to you? And that need can only be met in Jesus Christ, the Redeemer. We read of him. Oh, I'd love to get hold of him this evening. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion. We read so much of him. When the enemy to come in like a flood. In the greatest extent of it, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up the standard against him. What is it to you and me? The Lord's hand is not shortened and it cannot save. Again, I want to seek the Lord's help to speak of it. In the greatest extremity, the enemy shall come in like a flood. Now, there are many different ways of looking at it, but it's the overwhelming flood that I want to notice. Flood of iniquity. And that dreadful spirit of sin and unworthiness. Friends, we do need the Lord to acquaint our souls with it. By way of repentance. By way of God's rich grace. Oh, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. And indeed, those words may have a meaning this evening I have not thought about particularly. When the enemy shall come in like a flood. The extent of it being overwhelming. To consume and to bring us to nothing under God's rich judgments. And many sweet passages of Scripture. The flood shall not overflow thee. And so on. Very sweet and precious in the Gospel. I want to try and come as God may help me a little. Here is a terrible extremity. Worse when it is unperceived and unknown, unfelt. And yet, friends, it's the grace in the Gospel I want to try and find. In him. Oh, the abounding nature of man's sod. Solemn, lost condition. And yet, well, it's God that works it, isn't it? And it's in our text. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion. And unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob. Or, putting it another way, the Redeemer shall come to Zion when the enemy shall come in like a flood. This is the sweet truth in the Gospel. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up the standard against him. Oh, I see it in afar off, friends, in the sweet truth in Genesis. The eyes of them both were opened, we read. The Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed of all cattle, and so on. Now is he our enemy, by God's grace. On thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And we read this word, and I will put enmity, between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. There's much of Christ in that. Oh, it's the truth in the Gospel, but it is to be spoken, friends, in the prophecy of it. Adam and Eve needed the Redeemer. Do you? Do I? Also, there is that application that men fell under the knowledge and the prophecy of the coming he that was without strength under the law. He was yet in his sin, but for the coming of the dear Redeemer, what's about it today? Oh, the need of the Lord in all his sufficiency for the church of God and for every coming sinner pleading for mercy. But men, friends, are lost but for the sweetest coming of the Redeemer by the Father, appointing of him in a great one for redemption from sin and from the law. And then the blessed Spirit to reveal it with that power and authority that quickens souls and makes them cry, "Give me Christ, or else I die." And it's this working, I think we've sung exactly the sentiments of it, or very much like it. Oh, the workings of Satan to deceive, take away the teaching, but for God's grace, a living soul, keep him in bondage and to confound and consume him, but for what? The Redeemer. All his sweet sufficiency, God's wondrous decrees that God should dwell with man. Something in it attracts my heart, really. Ah, friends, how lost and ruined in the fall. And yet his love is unchangeable, unchanging in the dear Redeemer, the Son of his love. Oh, to speak about it or feel it, friends, the wonderful truth of God's rich love to sinners that are unworthy, the least of all his mercies. And then to speak of it as God may, friends, not altogether at once perform his sweet work, but begin to open the heart and to cause a soul to sigh and cry, "Is he my Redeemer? But I'm lost. I'm so undone, I cannot think one thought aright, unless thy Spirit guide," is in our text. Now it's only God that can bring poor sinners to feel their sin in such a way as they need a Redeemer. Friends, there's much solemn truth can be said of a man under the law in his dreadful state, but oh, to feel it with repentance and to seek the Lord to grant that increase of that teaching and that help of God to believe that he is that Redeemer God has appointed to redeem. That's his work. It needs, what does it need? The blessed Spirit want to come to it. So we have the dreadful malady, the dreadful state of man. The law reveals it. He is guilty and undone. And let me be ever so clear about it, friends. We come to the time of the year. I'm taking it to myself. The very person, the Redeemer, is nothing to us but for God's grace. I must qualify it, friends. Such is the dreadful state of man. His sin and rebellion against God and his unbelief. It needs a mighty Redeemer. Appointed of God in the truth of the gospel. I feel it. A little way I am very poor. It's a malady, isn't it? It's a need that God begins to grant. And I was thinking of younger hearts, perhaps joined together, that they might know more and more that sweet truth, as we have read in Genesis, there, of their eyes been opened. I must pass on. Oh, to need the Lord, friends, with that sweetness towards his name and God's grace. We'll go again. We'll seek him. But our sins are so many, the Lord's arm is not shortened. May God grant it, maybe the desire of our heart to plead. A worthy name, given among men, whereby we must be saved. But it's all, absolutely all of grace. It's in our text. It speaks of the Spirit of God being upon that need, as the dear prophet, or maybe know much of it. Now the matter that rests still on my mind is this. It needs the Lord to come with it, friends. How does he bring it? By the blessed Spirit. Oh, if I could really preach the blessed Spirit of truth in his sweet, glorious office of taking the things of the Redeemer, showing them to his foes, God's foes, and sweetly bringing the truth of the gospel where it has not yet reached in some poor sinner's heart. Friends, we would rejoice indeed. Now, I want to come then. It's the dreadful state, condition, extent, the guilt, the awful state mankind are in. And he sent the Redeemer. We have it in our text that shall come to Zion. Now, it's in the preaching of the everlasting gospel. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. Characters, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. And we've spoken very generally about it and the awful truth of it just when. God's purposes, friends, are greater. Born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Yet there is a sweet truth, and it's only in Jesus Christ, the dear Redeemer. Search through, friends, you won't find it anywhere else. Certainly not in poor man, but it's in the dear Redeemer. How lifted up he is. And the Redeemer, one of God's shall come to Zion, the city of God, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob. There's much in that. I want to perhaps just notice it a little further. But my thoughts still linger around these words, this appointment, this blessing of God to a people that knew him not. Some of us indeed cared not for him at all. Well, we're all like that, but to feel it is something different. It's this, friends. It dwells in this glorious man, the man Christ Jesus. I don't think the half has been said about him. But indeed, I speak to qualify myself. Offer more grace. Speak so much of him when the enemy shall come in like a flood. A guilty world to save, but souls called by grace divine. Just when the enemy shall come in like a flood, all his dreadful enmity against Christ and his bride and his church. We read of it so sweetly. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up the standard against him. Something attracts my heart there. No matter how great the flood of iniquity, there is in the dear Redeemer fullness the Father hath appointed to give to the poor. His salvation is in him. I must hasten. The Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Or it says, put him to flight. Now that's a good subject, isn't it? This great enemy of souls to be put to flight. Oh, for the Lord to grant that sweet conquest and put it to the lot and the souls of his people, that they should be conquerors too. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. I believe it to be the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord. And then we have something so wonderful in it, friends, the Lord to arise, rebuke the floods, and to come and to lift up a standard against him. Now God's people know what it is to be in the flood sometimes in their soul. They're brought so low because of their sins. And those sins are like a flood, as they seem to speak of nothing but destruction and despair. Those that know the Lord will know a little what I mean. It needs the Lord himself, doesn't it? The Lord shall lift up a standard against it. What standard is it? Well, I believe it is that standard in God's own word that speaks of this. I have found David, my servant. Another application. A body hast thou prepared me. The Spirit most wonderfully, graciously appointed. Such a Saviour. I may have touched upon it before. I do not know. But it's this particular setting up of the dear Redeemer in the counsels of Jehovah by divine appointment. Friends, what a sweet sound it is in the gospel when the spirit of the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. There is a conscious these words are so well known. I seek to keep to the spirit of the gospel in them. This is the we can hardly speak of it, right? The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up. It is that sacred work and office that is given to him. The Father smiles indeed upon such a lifting up. By the blessed spirit of the dear Redeemer, when he shall come to Zion. What a sweet subject that is when he is lifted up. He's lifted up in doctrine. I'm sure of that. Must be so. Height of heaven, and yet coming to dwell on this poor earth, and bringing down, friends, by the Spirit, those sweet blessings in Christ Jesus. Such a display of God's love. And then there's that particular work and witness and appointment of the Spirit to redeem those poor characters that are lost by sin and by Satan. And oh, their souls, friends, are defiled by sin. They can't rise above it. They try to be better. They try to say, I won't be such an unbeliever. They try to seek the Lord, but friends, they come to it again and again. Oh Lord, help me now. I can do nothing without thee. My strength is wholly thine. But I believe such characters will long to hear and receive by God's grace the sweet truth of the ministry of the Blessed Spirit. Now that work and witness of the Spirit is to lift up a standard. Where? In the souls, the poor characters, but they're called by grace. I can find no other reason for it, friends. It's the Spirit taking of those sacred truths and making them life and power in a poor sinner's heart so that there's such a change. He loves the things he once denied. Now his heart is towards the highway. He wants to hear what the Lord has done, and indeed he wants to feel it in his own heart. Are there many like that tonight? I want something outside of myself. I want something that only God can give to the chief of sinners, so that they might not be left as such, but brought to be able to say, he's altogether lovely. The chief is among 10,000. Friends, that's the truth of it, isn't it? It's this taking of the way of sin by God's rich grace, by the redemption in Christ Jesus. And it's by the cross. Oh, the sweet truth of it. Ever sin should be taken away from God's people by the virtues of the cross. And he that suffered upon it, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. Something that stands out to me, I would love to see this sweet work more evident. Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. I hope I know just something about it. By God's grace, we're very poor. You love to see it in the hearts of poor sinners. When there's one there and another there that says, or feels perhaps, be the least, and they have to go out unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Oh, what a reproach that may be. There is that going out unto him. It's in the text, by the Spirit of the Lord being lifted up, that drawing these characters unto him this gathering shall be. But then a little further, it does seem to tend my mind, friends, the exactitude just when it seems that Satan has got his prey, then the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Characters given to him in time, in eternity past, they belong to him, given to him to redeem, and they could not be given to any else. Friends, this matter is way of salvation through the merits of the dear Redeemer. Again, my thoughts go to it like this. Just when the poor sinner feels sure he cannot be among the Lord's people, his past is black, his heart is bad, he is altogether undone and just not like the people of God, friends, the very characters God will bring by way that they know not, their paths have not known. What does it need? The sweet Spirit to impart, breathe down like sweet grace into a poor sinner's heart, he'll be changed then. Or he'll be brought another way then. It won't be, well, I'm nearly better, or I'm nearly what I want to be. Friends, it'll be this. Lord, do not leave me now. Bring me to thyself. That's where I want to come, when the Redeemer shall come to Zion, when he's there. We're in the midst of the church, whatever men may say. When he's lifted up and there's none like him. When there's a sweet warming of the soul, the dropping of a tear perhaps. When there's a sweet, it's lifting up, you know, it's by the power of his love, but it's also the virtue of his blood. Cleanse away sin and remove it. Take it from a poor sinner by grace divine. And that precious blood is for sin. And the Lord appoints it so. Oh, it's when the Lord is precious unto you. Therefore, which believe, he is precious. I'm losing my way a bit. It's this particular sacred blessing of the Holy Ghost renewing soul. Friends, they're turned about. Now, in their hearts, they've got this spirit. They don't want it. They don't have a care for it by nature. God breaks it down. Oh, he subdues the power of it, the dreadful nature of it. Oh, I could speak about it, and I feel to need it more and more. Now, it's this I want to just bring to you. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him, being the adversary. We've spoken of him. Oh, that terrible one that is at enmity against God. And so it is that enmity is subdued by grace. You have it in the word of his truth. And the Lord does grant that sweetness of Jesus' name to sinners in distress. It does seem to stand out to me a little. When the enemy shall come in like a flood. So it is. It is something more. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up the standard against him. We might cry, lift it up, Lord. Or perhaps for those that need the Lord this evening, lift up this Spirit of the Lord. Have it in the word of our text. The Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And then my thoughts go a little further, just for a little few moments, as God may bring these verses a little to us. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion. Or perhaps there's something we might be able to know by God's grace. The Redeemer, in all his sweet excellency, the Redeemer, the friend of sinners, the friend of his dear people, perhaps in the word of his grace here, or his coming unto Zion. Oh, I believe there's much in that sweet word. The Redeemer shall come to Zion unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob. Then lastly, as God may direct me a little, I cannot seem to get beyond these words. I don't know what application they may be. The enemy shall come in like a flood, deep waters, trials and sorrows too, cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, I will hear it. Perhaps some characters are wondering if the Lord can ever look upon them, feeling to be so unlike the people of God. And then I must just come a little further, just briefly. Oh, it's when there's this knowledge of the power of the enemy coming in like a flood. I'll just touch upon it for a moment. The appointing of God and the way in which there's that need of the Lord to lift up a standard against him, against the enemy, against poor sinners, oh, and against this enemy indeed. Is that what you need? The Lord to lift up the standard, or to grant it by his sweet grace. Perhaps we must touch upon it briefly. Or this word of God's grace. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up the standard against him. Very quickly, we must leave a few things. It speaks in the text of that continual work of God's own rich grace. Perhaps in another sweet sense. Although these things be so, there is that Spirit of the Lord lifted up. Oh, it's lifted up against sin, lifted up against transgression, blessed be God. It also lifted up against our sins. What a mercy, friends. They cannot prevail. We need the Lord. They cannot be anything that shall leave us without the sweet truth of this standard lifted up according to God's own purpose, his rich grace. There's just these last verses I must leave in. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion. Oh, what a mercy that is. And unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. Let's leave it there. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Timothy Parrish will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Robert Field on Friday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 350. Ye pilgrims of Zion, and chosen of God, whose spirits are filled with dismay, Since ye have eternal redemption through blood, ye cannot but hold on your way. Hymn 350.
Thank you.
O Lord, do forgive all amiss. Grant us the convoy, thy love and mercy. Bless thy word and truth. Hear prayer, Lord, for others too. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit with you all. Amen.